I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, the Terry Jesse Show. This is not low energy Catholic radio, wrong channel, wrong station. High energy Catholic radio, we speak the truth in charity. Our program is not right versus left, it is right versus wrong. Terry, are you on duty, my
I'm
friend?
I'm reporting to duty, sir, and I got to tell you, Jess, I had a great weekend. I'm motivated from falling deeper in love with Jesus Christ through his sacraments, through visits to the Blessed Sacrament, praying, and also evangelizing people. You know, Jess, that's the number one thing that can build your faith up. When you share your faith with others, your faith grows at the same time.
Absolutely, Terry. And I'll tell you what's exciting about every single day getting up.
Yeah.
Number one, I'll tell you what's exciting.
Tell me.
The hope that we have of heaven.
Amen. Oh,
and basically, that's the definition of hope in Catholicism. I'll give you the catechism. It says, I'm going to give you the abbreviated version. It's believing in the promises of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you believe in the promises of Jesus Christ, you can wake up every day and say, I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a millionaire. Heck, if I had any more joy, I'd be twins.
Hey, Jesse, we got good news here right now with the Bible. Every single day on the Terry and Jesse Show, we talk about the gospel of the day. And today, Jesse, it's the gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 to 27. Would you please read that and proclaim it, actually, to our listeners?
Absolutely. Here it goes. When Jesus had come into the temple area, the chief priests and the elders of the people approached him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Jesus said to them in reply, I shall ask you one question, and if you answer it for me, then I shall tell you by what authority I do these things. Where was John's baptism from? Was it of heavenly or of human origin? They discussed this among themselves and said, if we say of heavenly origin, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we fear the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet. So they said to Jesus in reply, we do not know. He himself said to them, neither shall I tell you by what authority I do these things, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So they're questioning Jesus' authority, the scribes and Pharisees. That's what you got going on here. This is like the oldest sin in the Bible. Who taught us to question authority? Satan. When? In the Garden of Eden. He's the one that got Adam and Eve to question God the Father's authority. This is the oldest playbook in Satan's arsenal. Get you to question God's authority. And here, Satan is using the Pharisees and Sadducees to question Jesus, the Son of God's authority. And what happened? I'm going to get a little bit more contemporary. In our country, we could say probably starting with the 60s, where it really ramped up, we entered into this sexual revolution of moral relativism and secular humanism. And that's been the cry of the 60s ever since. Question authority.
Amen.
What do modernists in the church do? Question the authority of the church. This is the oldest playbook of Satan. He's been doing this for 2,000 years. Why do people get arrested by policemen? They question the authority of the government or of the police to enforce the laws that are enacted. Terry, every single problem that I see in society and even in the church, it's questioning authority. Why is the church split into 40,000 denominations?
Right.
Luther questioned the authority of the church.
That's it.
Why is this church split today, the Catholic Church, between modernist progressives and those that are orthodox that want to do what the church teaches? What splits the church today in a potential schism one day? It's called those that question authority. Those that say, I don't like what the church teaches, I'm going to change it. Terry, this gospel today is the very heart and soul of anarchy.
Yep.
And the tool that the devil's been using since the Garden of Eden.
And you know, Jesse, I use that same principle that Jesus taught in that gospel. When people ask me questions about the faith, I usually ask a question back to them. Do you believe in humani vitae?
The Socratic method.
Yeah, a Socratic method. And you know, the Jewish rabbis did it. He who asks questions has control. Socrates, 387 BC. And I think that's important for us to be able to just point out by asking questions. Jess, I'm so excited right now, brother. Are you finished with the commentary? Because if you got more,
yeah,
go
yeah.
for it. Okay, let's bring Bishop Sheen in. Bishop Sheen's full sheen ahead. This is a story. Put your seatbelts on. I've ended up getting some old writings of Fulton Sheen from the 40s and 50s and 60s called God Love You, his newsletters from papers. Here's a story, Jesse, that indicates the zeal that the church used to have on missionaries. Check. I'm serious. Now, not all missionaries aren't like, but let's just face it. Our fires have gone out. This is the story. A missionary from Nigeria told us of an experience. This priest had 27 out missions, they called it, which he covered on a bicycle. Oh, no, I thought it was a car. No, I thought he had an Uber driver. No, on a bicycle. And many of them, he heard confessions 8 hours a day. Now, after the 6 o'clock Holy Mass in one of these poor bush churches, he was told there was a woman in the field who wanted to go to confession. Now, she was a leper. Her hands had been eaten. Check this out, everybody. Think about this. Her hands had been eaten away by the disease just below her elbow. Her feet to just above the ankles. After giving her the sacrament of penance and the Eucharist, the priest inquired, hey, how did you get here? She said, I live in a village about a mile and a half away. She answered, but how did you get here? She said, I crawled on my elbows and my knees. Okay, here it comes. The priest told her that the following day he would bring our Lord to her in Holy Communion. But the next day, the next morning, Jesse, she was at Mass. And the priest scolded her and said, did I not tell you I would bring communion to you so you wouldn't have to crawl a mile and a half? She answered, I didn't want to trouble anyone. Now, this leprous woman had so much faith that she wanted to spare our Eucharistic Lord and his priest a bicycle ride of a mile and a half. And the exemption from the burden was purchased at the cost of creeping over rough ground and weeds. Listen to what Sheen says. With her lips almost in communion with the dust before they communed with our Savior. Never once did she think of her own leprosy as a burden. Disability claimed no favors from either man or God. As the father spared not his own son, and the son spared his own mother, so she, following these examples, spared not herself. Jess Romero, if that doesn't get you and I motivated to go to church, we got cars last time I looked, brother. How many people, and I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable, my listener, are you going to daily Mass when you're able to with your daily duty and allow you to go to Mass? Or do you say it's too cold outside? Or, hey, you know what? I don't feel good today. Cut it out. Look what this woman did with her faith. Jesse, do you know what she's doing right now? Do you know what her soul is before the beatific vision of God? I'm sure. Her love for God was so great. I'm sure God said, come, my faithful servant, to spend eternity with me. Now, what's the message here, Jess? I think if you're retired and you've got time on your hands, it's just bad time management not to go to daily Mass, Eucharistic adoration, pray your rosary. This woman puts us to shame. Now, Jess, that
I'll tell you what, Terry, because the church needs our prayer power.
Exactly. And that's what's been lacking.
Our church needs all the sacramental graces. The church needs all the intercessory prayer power. The church needs our holiness because the church is under attack. The church has always been under attack. That's why St. Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 6, put on the armor of God, because the church has been in the battle against the diabolical since 33 AD. But it's pretty acute right now because now the devil is using, as the catechism says, politics, media, and education, paragraph 407. And so we have to step up our prayer life. We have to step up our sacramental life because that is what makes and purifies Holy Mother Church.
Jesse, that just confirms what Our Lady said at Fatima. Souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. And I'm going to make a point. There's 400 million Catholics that have left the church since 1965. Dr. Hahn pointed this out. I was there when he gave the talk. So, Jesse, if 400 million Catholics have left the church and they're now either a Protestant or whatever they're doing, maybe they're nuns, a lot of them, do you think that prayer power is lacking right now? And that's one of the reasons the devil has so much power in the world today. I happen to believe that's the case. And when we come back, Jesse, we're going to be talking about that. But Jesse, am I on to something?
I've heard that from exorcists, exactly what you said. Professors in schools of exorcism say that because there's less lay people praying, the prayers of the church are weaker. Even the prayers of exorcists during sessions are weaker because there's so much sin in the church, so much compromise, and there's less lay people praying. By the way, let me answer the Pharisees' question.
Yeah.
They asked, by who does Jesus have authority from? The Bible tells us he gets his authority from the Father. And Jesus gave his authority to the church, which is his bride.
Well said.
Yep.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about fallen away Catholics, some high-profile Catholics. Sean Hannity, he's the one that tells me he left the church because of scandal. Well, let's talk about 400 million Catholics that have left since 1965, and let's bring them all back here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio through the grace of God. We'll be right back.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God, the Terry and Jesse Show. Terry, this the crisis within the Catholic faith.
Yes.
Is now affecting people that have big pulley pulpits.
Exactly.
Why do I say that? Sean Hannity, everybody who watches news knows who he is.
Yeah.
He's probably, right now, he's the dominant star on primetime cable news. He has the largest viewership. He said that he's leaving the Catholic Church, or that he left the Catholic Church in an interview a few days ago, published in the Christian Post. It's a Protestant newspaper. He said this: the Catholic Church has too much institutionalized corruption, close quote. Hannity's my age, Terry. He's 57 years old, and the last time he probably made a real public statement about the faith was back in 2007. He had a little debate against Father Thomas Eitenauer, who's been suspended as a priest. I don't know where he's at these days. But they argued in 2007 over the church's teaching on birth control.
Yep.
And Hannity disagreed. Father Eitenauer promoted the church's authentic teaching. But I'll tell you, Terry, here's what's happening, is that Sean Hannity and many others like him, they are the victims of a generation, Mike Pence as well. They're my generation.
Sure.
They're a victim of a generation of Catholics that the faith has never been transmitted to them.
You got it.
And so it stands to reason, like St. Thomas Aquinas says, you cannot give what you do not have. So, you know, I think about back in the 60s when things started really, the modernists really put it in fourth gear. With a clergy that embraced modernism post Vatican II, Vatican II never being implemented properly, as Pope Benedict calls it, virtual Vatican II, what we've been living the last 50 years. And so the average person in that generation, myself included, they no longer were taught the faith. So they're walking away from something that they never understood. And they're being taught the faith by people who, I mean, we hear from one week to another, Terry, the crisis in terms of the unfolding scandals of homosexual priests abusing teenage boys, bishops covering it up, you know, Vatican officials ripping off billions of dollars, using money for gay lovers, you know, you have police raiding the Vatican, having orgies, money being misdirected, they're donating to homosexual films. These scandals have not stopped. And this is what Sean Hannity, Mike Pence, other people, they've seen this all their life. And so they're leaving the Catholic faith. This is just a symptom of something bigger. What's bigger is that the bishops that are commissioned to teach, govern, and sanctify, Terry, they're not reporting for duty. A lot of them have lost their supernatural faith within the hierarchy, and a lot of them are just horrible and wicked men that are not transmitting the faith to the average Catholic. And this is the end results, Terry.
Jesse, I couldn't agree more. After 40 years of doing evangelization, I see it still happening. For example, yesterday here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we have the Melkite Mass, and the church was packed, and there were four teenagers sitting on the side of the church when I happened to come by because some lights were left on during the day. I said, okay, I'll go turn them off. Well, I see these kids sitting under a canopy, not in church. I said, young men, do you know what's going on in that church? No. They were so ignorant. Jesse, fast forward 10 or 12, 15 years from now, they're not going to be practicing their Catholic faith. If they practice any faith, it's because someone introduced them to the person of Christ. So guess what I did? I introduced those kids to Jesus in the Mass. I did a catechesis right there. And then I said, pull out your cell phones, kids. What for? You're downloading Virgin Most Powerful Radio, Jesus 911. I talked to them about the devil. That got their attention, Jesse. Teenagers, they want to know about it. I said, you want to know about the devil and how you can avoid him? Listen to Virgin Most Powerful Radio, Jesus 911. Now, that's the short story. But how many of these kids today are still not being catechized? They're still not being introduced to the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesse, Sean Hannity is just one of 400 million Catholics baptized that have left the church. Now, we could talk about the balloons and banners right now, but here at Virgin Most Powerful, you know what we want to talk about? Your soul. We want you to get to heaven. And when we see people leaving the church like this, we have to speak out. And Jess, my heart goes out to Sean because I believe he's got goodwill, just like the vice president.
I would love to have a conversation
with him. So would I. I'd love
if somebody can get me in touch with Sean Hannity. Yeah. I would even fly to New York.
I know, and I'll pay for it.
On my own dime. Okay, well, and I would spend an hour with him, 2 hours in a coffee shop. Because, Terry, I'm the same age.
You got it.
That's my generation there.
You relate.
And I would be right there with Sean Hannity and Mike Pence because I saw all this.
Yes, let's
betrayal.
Be honest. Let's be honest. If you,
I saw this homosexuals and faithless men in seminaries, these homosexual abusers. I've seen all this stuff, and they corrupt the minds of people. These wicked men stand in pulpits. They don't teach the faith. They teach modernism. But I was fortunate, thanks be to God, that I came in contact with good Catholic apologetics apostolates very early on.
You would
when
have been
I had
Protestant.
One foot out of the church.
That's right.
I ran across St. Joseph's Communications,
Catholic Answers,
and other good apostolic works post-Vatican II that grounded me in biblical orthodoxy, grounded me in the church's teachings, or I'd be just like Mike Pence and Sean Hannity.
Exactly.
With all the stuff that I saw the same thing that they've done, homosexual abusers populating seminaries. I've seen the modernism taught in pulpits, but because my mind was formed and continues to be formed early on, I was able to say, that's wrong, that's modernism, that's phony, that's deception. I know what's true, because once you embrace the truth and you've read it, and intellectually and in your heart you've appropriated it, there's nothing a modernist can do that can offset that. But Hannity and Pence, obviously, they didn't have the grace that I had, where I embraced truth very early on, because, to be honest with you, their wheelhouse, their heart is in the world of politics, so they're well formed in politics. I mean, they've read the you know political history, political philosophy, the documents, Constitution. I mean, that's their wheelhouse. I didn't take that route. I took the route of, I'm going to learn my faith, because there's something fishy in Denmark right now in a lot of these parishes.
And Jesse,
I knew it.
And Jesse, let me share. You're not going to want to do this, Jess, but these people want to hear it, especially our Stations of the Cross people. Your love for Jesus, you fell deeper in love with Jesus in your Catholic faith, so much so you had a priest who ministered at a parish who was living a double life. Tell us what you did. Did you just accompany him, or did you call him out so that he could repent and get to heaven? Tell us.
There was a priest that, associate pastor of my parish, and the pastor said, hey, Father, nobody knows who he is. I won't mention his last name. Father John is... He's sick right now. He's with his parents. He's dying of cancer. So if you can keep him in your prayers. So every single week, we're praying for Father John, the associate pastor. He was a young guy. He's probably in his mid to late 30s. And he was dying of cancer, according to our pastor, Father David. Nobody knows who he is either. I won't mention the name or city. So the pastor said, yeah, he's. I asked him after Mass. I said, Father, so where's Father John? And he goes, he's with his parents in Texas. He's in home hospice, and he's dying of cancer. I said, wow, that's weird. He's a young guy. He's not overweight. I mean, he's in pretty good shape. Well, I kept asking the secretary, can you give me Father John's phone number? I want to talk to him. I want to tell him, you know, we're good friends. He comes over to my house once a month and stuff. He has dinner. We talk philosophy, politics, issues of life. She says, no, he doesn't want to talk to anybody. He's just, you know, basically sick and dying. He wants to be left alone. I kept bugging every week. Maria, the secretary, finally called me up and said, Jesse, Father John is here, and he's in the rectory. I said, what? He'd like to see you. So I started working at 6 o'clock, 4 p.m. at the sheriff's department. It was 1 o'clock. I drove to the rectory to visit him for about 2 hours before I left to work from there, p.m. shift. I was so happy to see him. I said, he's here from Texas. I haven't seen him in about a year. I know he's dying of cancer. I want to see my friend, Father John. He opens up the room. He's in a hospital bed. He's got all kinds of tubes and IVs and stuff. He's in a hospice situation in the rectory. I said, Father, how are you? Father, I miss you. We hugged each other, a brotherly embrace and stuff, man. I think I was even tearing up. I was so happy to see him. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just put in my mind, you know, I had the sensus fidei, or common sense. Mm-hmm. I said, Father, they say you're dying of cancer. I said, Father, you're not dying of cancer, are you? You're dying of AIDS, huh? He goes, yes, I'm dying of AIDS. He pulled down the blankets. He's 6'3". He weighed about 110 pounds. He was skin and bones. At that moment, I'm saying, Father, Father, they've been telling us you're dying of cancer. You're dying of AIDS. Father, you must repent. Father, you must repent of this sin. Father, you got to make a good confession. Father, you're dying. Then he started screaming at me, be quiet. The church is wrong.
Wow.
You let the church has to change. He sounded like Father Martin 30 years ago, Terry.
I bet.
He was screaming at me. He got right in my face. The church is wrong. The church has to change her teachings. The catechism. Oh, the church is absolutely wrong. It's backwards. I'm saying, Father, you're wrong. You're a priest of the Most High God. You hear me? You're a priest of the Most High God. Repent, Father. Repent, Father. You have to have contrition. I want you to get to heaven. I want you to be saved. We are arguing with each other like two football coaches at a Super Bowl football game. Mm. Face to face, Terry. We could taste each other's
spit. I can picture it.
We were so close.
Yep.
I just couldn't take it no more. I said, my friend is dying of AIDS, and he's got a hardened heart, and he's going to go to hell.
That's right.
I grabbed him by his T-shirt. He's on his bed. He's again, sick and dying. He's very weak. And I grabbed him by his T-shirt, and I pulled him next to me, and I'm shaking him, Father, I love you, Father. Father, I love you. I love your soul. Do you understand? I want you to go to heaven. No priest of God in my watch is going to go to hell.
Praise
you
God.
Baptized my first son. Father, you gave me communion every Sunday for years. You're not going to go to hell. You understand? I'm shaking him. And he goes, okay, okay. He screamed, okay. Jesse, hug. Go call Father David.
Wow.
I want to make a good confession. I ran down the hall. Father pounded at the door. Father John wants to go to confession.
Praise
Father
God.
What? What? He put on a stool. He ran over there. I'm up and down the hallway doing the rosary on my fingers. Okay? I finished the rosary. So his confession was 15 or 20 minutes. Father David comes out, looks at me with like a sigh. He goes, he goes. He stuck his fingers out at me.
Thumbs up,
thumb
baby.
Thumbs up. And he comes, what did you do? I said, I don't know. He goes back to his office. I walk back in there. Father John looks at me. He's crying. Wow. I started crying.
I guess.
I hugged him again.
Yeah.
Skin and bones. I said, Father, I'm so happy. I'm so happy you're going to go to heaven. And I remember I told him. I said, say hi to Fulton Sheen for me. He has, because I was going through those cassette
Life is Worth Living, yeah.
That I bought from you.
I know, I remember.
I was going through that.
Powerful story.
I said, Father, say hi to Fulton Sheen for me. Tell Jesus I love him. Tell Mary I love him. And he told me, I'm glad I called you. You're the only one in the entire parish of 4,000 families that would have told me the truth.
Thank you, Jesse.
He died that evening, Terry.
I love
died
it. That evening, yes, God's mercy. That's the kind of evangelization we need to get back to. It brings souls to Christ. We'll be back with much more to inspire you.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Hey, by the way, tomorrow night here in Phoenix, Arizona, I'm going to be at St. Paul's Parish.
Good.
Tomorrow, Tuesday, giving talks on spiritual warfare from a Catholic perspective, how to live in a state of grace. I'll see you there from 7 to 9 p.m. That's St. Paul's Parish Mission. Tomorrow night, Phoenix, Arizona.
Jesse, let me interrupt you,
brother. I want to say last about the Sean Hannity.
Okay, but let me interrupt you, brother. This is an interruption, Jess. That story you just told, I got to interrupt you. I'm the one who asked you to do it, and I'll tell you why, folks. Go on the podcast and listen to that. Have your son or daughter who's left the church, because I'm going to tell you something, Jesse. This is the very reason we're not bringing a lot of souls back to Christ, because nobody's willing to go and tell the people the truth and charity. You know what
we've
they say?
We've lost our fire.
Yes, and you know what we want to do? We just want to accompany them. See, Jesse, certain people in the church would have said, Jesse, just be there and hold his hand as he dies in the state of mortal sin, objectively. That's baloney. And I'll tell you one more thing, and then you can come contact about Sean Hannity. This is why certain people in the Catholic Church look at you, Jesse, or myself, and say, hey, that's old-fashioned. We're not doing that anymore. You know what it is? Old-fashioned religion. It's the four last things. What else is there to talk about? See, I don't want to talk about recycling, Jesse. I'll tell you why. Let the secular people talk about that. I want to talk about how to get to heaven. And Jesse, you just did that, and that was an act of charity you gave to Father. And I hope others will do likewise. Okay, let's get back.
Father John told me before I left to work, I said, so why did you call me, Father? I said, they said I couldn't have your number for about a year.
Right.
He says, the reason I called you is because I knew out of the 4,000 families in this parish and the 6 priests that I live with in this house.
Right.
He says, I knew you would be the only person that would tell me the truth and confront me.
And
so in his heart, Terry, he was wrestling. He had a cognitive dissonance. He knew that his life was wrong objectively, but nobody was telling him then that. He wanted a father figure, and I mean, we're like the same age back then. I think I was a little bit younger. He wanted another man to tell him the truth, because the priests in the rectory were accompanying him. No, they weren't telling him that he was in mortal sin. He had to go to confession and to stop sodomizing whoever he was doing. And so that's why he said he called me. He says, I knew that I'm dying, and you're the only one in this huge church that would have told me the truth.
And Jesse, that needs to be said today for us. Don't be afraid out of charity, because you need to tell people the truth, whether it's on homosexuality. I hear people tell me this. They go, well, I don't want to, judge him, because I don't want him. You know, if he wants to live that way, that's between him and God. You know what? That's a wimp. You've lost out on an opportunity to give him the teachings of Christ. And so here's my point, Jesse, and I'm just going to throw one more thing at people. There are people on the radio, and they're good people, but we've lost the sense of sharing the truth. And I'll give you an example. A lady calls up and says, hey, there's a priest out there who says that Adam and Eve don't exist on the Bible anymore. That was just a imagination, and we don't have to believe in Adam and Eve. Well, the radio host would say, okay, that's wrong, but don't tell me the name of the priest. Well, let me tell you what we get in trouble with. We want to know the name of the priest who's preaching heretical teachings, because we want you, for the good of you, not to go and follow that teacher. I'll give an example. There's a priest in New Mexico, and he's very popular, and he's a New Age priest, and he marries homosexuals. And I can't think of the guy's name. Who, Richard
Rohr. Is it Rohr?
Father Richard Rohr. Popular guy. Used to listen to him on different conferences. But Richard Rohr is for homosexual, so-called homosexual marriages. So I would say, don't listen to anything on him. Out of charity for the souls that are out there, you need to be aware. And Jesse, we talked about this before the show. It's a very biblical teaching, and it's not being implemented out of respect. And I think it's false compassion. Tell me who it is so I can avoid a man.
Yeah, Terry, let's continue on this topic. It's important. We'll table this other topic.
Yeah.
What happens, Terry, when you fail to tell somebody the truth,
that's right,
the catechism calls it the sin of omission.
That's right.
And if you die with the sin of omission, knowing that you had the obligation to do something and you did not do it, if you do so with full knowledge and deliberate consent of your will, Terry, that's going to be eternal death in hell. And I'll tell you, for example, what is objectively wrong. There's a bishop, an archbishop by the name of Paglia. Okay? There's Archbishop Paglia, Vincenzo Paglia. He's right now the one that's in charge of the Pontifical Academy for Life. It was the former John Paul II Institute. Okay? He's on record saying that he would hold hands with people dying from euthanasia.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay? So he says, to hold the hand of someone who is dying, committing suicide, is something that every faithful must promote, as they must promote a culture that opposes assisted suicide. So I agree with him. We've got to promote a culture of assisted suicide, but no, we don't sit there as our family member is dying and holding their hand. Okay? We say, stop it.
Yep. Repent.
No, this is a mortal sin. Yep. You're doing this with full knowledge. It's thou shalt not kill. No, not on my watch. I love you. Jesus loves you. You got to repent. Let's pray right now. Ask God to give you grace, actual grace right now, to fight off this temptation to kill yourself. I'm not going to sit there with my family member as they're, I'm going to kill myself, Jesse. Okay, no problem. Let me hold your hand. Terry, this is the sin of omission. And this is a cardinal, but it doesn't surprise me.
No.
Because this cardinal is also, as I've read, he's also the same cardinal that in one of the churches that he had a mural put there of with has homosexual imagery in this mural.
Yeah,
and so it doesn't surprise me. It looks to me like he's a modernist. He doesn't toe the line of the church. But again, this is cowardice. This is Adam and Eve all over again. Adam failing to do what he should have done as a man. Hey, Eve, back off, woman. That serpent right there at her front door, I'm the man. I'm going to protect you. Hey, serpent, get out of here right now. Okay? This is my house. Get out right now and leave my wife alone. Terry, and this is what happened in Sean Hannity's case. Hannity, Mike Pence, when you have, these guys are like orphans. What do I mean by that? If you've been getting a diet of modernist sermons for 40 years,
you're formed.
And you've been getting modernist instructions by the bishops and cardinals in your diocese, like in New York,
yep,
for all your life.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Is it a wonder that they're leaving something that they never really understood in the first place, because their spiritual fathers have left them orphaned, Terry?
Well, Jesse, I got to tell you, Cardinal Robert Sarah, in his book, The Day Is Now Far Spent, on page 23, he just confirms what you just said. He said, like Peter, many people in the modern world have denied Christ. Contemporary man is afraid of God, afraid of becoming his disciple. And he said, I do not want to know God. And I'll tell you why they say that, Jesse, why he's saying that. People don't want to know the real teachings of Christ because it makes them have to change their living style. And so they want a Christ without the crucifix. They want, I want to have pleasure. I want to have fun. And I can still say, you know, Jesus is Lord. No, they can't. Because if you are a follower of Christ, we have to follow his moral code if we love him. Remember what Jesus said, Jess? If you love me, right? Follow my teachings. So here's my point. Today here in the church right now, we're trying to inspire people to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ. And I get it. Some people are going to say, Jesse, Terry, you guys are way over the top telling people that they're in mortal sin objectively because I see someone living as a fornicator or adulterer or active homosexuality. Are you kidding me? That's a sin of omission if I don't point that out. Let me give one more example. I'll turn it back. Mom and dad, you got a son. He says, oh, hey, you know what? I'm living with my girlfriend, but you know, we still want you, you know, we want our relationship to be good, but don't ever talk to me about, you know, that I'm living in mortal sin or I'm leaving. And the parent's going to say, well, honey, we better just back up because we want our daughter to love us. So we can't say anything. Can I tell you, Jess, what you need to tell your son or daughter? And you know it. The truth that, son, I want to see you in heaven. Daughter, I want to see you in heaven. You're living according to the worldly standards that won't get you to heaven. You need to repent of what you're doing and live according to the gospel. That's true love. But right now, Jesse, in the world we're living in, most people will not say that.
Terry, and it all makes sense to me now, going to, again, why Cardinal Paglia would say, yeah, I got no problem. I would hold hands with somebody who's dying, who's having themselves killed through euthanasia. I would just sit there and hold their hands.
Yeah, never tell them to repent. That's not love, Jesse.
Terry, once you dissent sexually, you dissent doctrinally.
Of course, that's false. Okay?
He's pro-homosexual, and how do we know? I'm looking at an article. He's the one that commissioned a homoerotic painting. I'm looking at it. I don't even want to describe it.
No, don't.
You? Okay, I'm looking at it. So he paid a homosexual artist to paint a blasphemous homoerotic mural in his cathedral church in 2007. He's now in charge of the John Paul II Institute.
The one that was an Orthodox group. Now they replaced it. Yeah.
Right. So if you want to see where this man's mind is at, if you want to see why he would sit there and he would hold somebody's hand who's having themselves killed, and he wouldn't call them to repentance. Well, when you look at the homosexual mural that he put in his church in 2007, you're going to know exactly why. He's a dissenter.
That's it.
Once you dissent from church on sexual matters, it's just a logical extension to dissent from the church on doctrinal matters. And, I mean, he even says in this article that I'm looking at, Archbishop Paglia would hold hands with euthanasia candidate. Not me. Somebody's going to kill themselves in my presence. I'm going to do exactly what I'm going to do in front of Father John Wadovich. In fact, I even did that on a lesser level. In the 2002 scandals, I got on my knees and I told a bunch of Catholics, don't leave the church.
Yep.
In fact, I would do that to Sean Hannity if I was able to see him, and then I would give him some good biblical apologetics.
You got it. When we come back, I got some good news stories. Miracle Jesuits say Fatima saved them from the atomic bomb. And I got a great letter written to Pope Francis from lay people. I think it's inspirational. We'll be back with much more.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Karstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word. Read it often and put it into practice.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Lord's Gym, spiritual fitness trainers, Catholic CrossFits. Terry, give him some good news, my friend.
I just love this story because Our Lady of Fatima is such appropriate for us in the church today. This is from Church Pop. Miracle Jesuits say Fatima saved them from the atomic bomb in Hiroshima. Now, 70 years ago, you know, the only wartime use of the nuclear war weapons took place August 6th, right? And here's what happened. It killed 80,000 people instantly. It may have caused another 130,000 deaths later. Now, four Jesuits were nearby the atomic bomb's ground zero, but they survived it from the radiation that killed thousands in the months to follow. But here's the thing, Jesse, over 200 times they were investigated by doctors to try and see what's going on with them. Why aren't they having the effects of the atomic bomb?
Radiation, yeah.
Radiation. Why is it? And their answer was, hey, Doc, because we survived because we had devotion to the message of Fatima and the rosary. And Jess, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, I don't want anybody to be fretting over nuclear warheads. I'll tell you what, we pray for peace. But you know what? If we're living in the state of grace, we have nothing to fear. So this right. this message here, Jesse, is live the Fatima message. What is the Fatima message? Hey, prayer, reparation, living your daily duty, offering up all your sacrifices for the salvation of souls, for sinners, making reparation for sacrilegious things that are going on in the church today. That's the Fatima message. And I think these Jesuits, and Jesse, here's the thing I love about it. It was 1976 in front of all the people at the Eucharistic Congress, including Mother Teresa and Bishop Sheen were there. This Jesuit came as an elderly man and told his story of how living out the Fatima message saved his life, and the crowd went crazy. So I just want to say this is so important, and let's stay focused on what we can do as individuals, and that is be holy.
Good believing Jesuits, Terry. These guys were
old school.
A chip off the old block of their founder,
Saint Ignatius.
Yeah, and Saint Francis Xavier. They were basically the Jesuits that were a chip off off that old block of their founder.
It's exciting.
Can you imagine these four men?
Yep.
Their name: Father Hugo LaSalle, Father Herbert Schiffer, Father Wilhelm Kleinzorge, and Father Hubert Cieslik. They're in the rectory of Our Lady of Assumption Church.
Picture this, everyone.
Okay. And they're sitting down, and apparently they're praying the rosary. The atom bomb is dropped. The atom bomb was called, by the way, Little Boy. It was dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima during the Second World War. It instantly kills, in those two cities, around 80,000 people.
A lot of people.
Instantly fried.
Yep.
Okay? One second here. One second, you're incinerated.
Yep.
It also caused about 130 deaths of mostly civilians through the effect.
130,000, not 130.
130,000.
Yeah.
Through the effects of the aftermath of the atom bomb.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, these Jesuits, they're pretty close to the epicenter of the attack on Hiroshima.
Yep.
And again, they survived the catastrophe. What were they doing? They were sitting down praying the rosary.
Awesome.
In fact, Father Cieslik, he writes in his diary, and can you imagine? All of a sudden, within seconds, you hear a big blast, and everything around you for miles and miles and miles is ashes.
Yep.
And you guys look around, you're probably in four chairs with your rosaries and the tabernacle, the sanctuary. You look out, and everything is
gone.
Leveled.
Yep.
Okay? So the doctors were wondering, well, these guys are going to suffer the effects of radiation. They're going to die real soon. Well, these, people are thinking that they're going to have, serious lesions and illnesses and a premature death. Well, like Terry said, they were examined by doctors
200 times,
about 200 times over the course of the next couple of years.
Yep.
And guess what? Every time they examined them, no trace of radiation was found in their bodies. And so the diagnosis of these doctors that they were going to, suffer the results of this atomic energy, they were going to have serious
cancer,
lesions
and
die early and have all these ailments.
Yeah.
None of that ever happened.
Nope.
So these four religious, they never doubted, because they've testified to this in different venues. They never doubted that they were blessed and protected by God and the Blessed Virgin Mary. They said, why? Quote, we were living the message of Fatima, and we prayed the rosary every day, close quote.
That's it.
All I can say is, Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. And Terry, when you look at the Catholic faith,
yes,
it's just one miracle after another in the last 2,000 years. And if there's four reasons to be Catholic, I'll give you a quick four. Number one, ongoing Eucharistic miracles in the Catholic Church, which means the bread and the wine, which we know
the appearance,
it changes into the body and blood of Christ.
Yep.
Although the accidents,
there you go,
the accidents remain the same.
Yep.
It appears mm-hmm. to your eyes as bread and wine, but it's happened over 500 times, Terry, where the accidents now change appearance into the body and blood of Jesus, the substance and accidents.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Over 500 times. What else? We have apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We're the only religion that the Mother of God comes down and gives us warnings and prophetic statements. Number three, we're the only religion that has over 200 saints whose bodies are incorrupt. And this is humanly impossible, Terry. When you die, your body breaks down immediately. And based on good science, the second law of thermodynamics, all matter decomposes, and it starts decomposing immediately. We have bodies of saints, Terry, that look like they're asleep, and they've been dead for 200-400 years.
Called the incorruptibles.
And the final thing that I would say, we're also the only religion that has had well over 400 documented cases of people who have risen from the dead. I mean, it just happened a couple of years ago here in Phoenix. A friend of mine named Paul. Paul Zarecki. He's got a book. It's called Faith Understood.
Yep.
Paul Zuccarelli. He was dead for 3 hours.
Yep.
He went to be with Jesus, and he came back from the dead. There's medical documentation from the doctors in Phoenix. Two doctors that certified him as dead.
Yep.
Bishop Olmsted has investigated this case. He was dead for 3 hours and came back.
Praise God.
Jesus has done that over 400 times. I know, Sean Hann, that he's what the garbage he's seen. I've seen the same garbage. I know the garbage Mike Pence has seen in the last 40. I've seen the same garbage.
Yep.
But you know what? I don't look at the human side of the church, sinners, because if people looked at me, they say, I'm out of the Catholic Church. Look at Jesse Romero. I'm out of here.
Yep.
I keep my eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12:2. I look at the divinity, the supernatural aspect of Catholicism. That's what attracts me, and that's what makes me say, I'm on duty every day for Jesus until he calls me home.
And Jesse, you nailed it, what you just said, the divinity of the aspect of the church. How do you see the church, as the bride of Christ or just like the Optimist Club? That's what Cardinal Ratzinger said in 1985. So where do you go? There's nowhere else to go, folks.
Peter was asked that question.
Yep.
Where do you go? He says, Lord, to whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life.
Exactly.
I can't leave the Catholic Church. Well, I can't pull a hand at you or Mike Pence. I like those guys, but they don't know what I know. They only know one thing. They got part of it. Both of them believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, Hannity and Mike Pence.
Absolutely.
Okay? But what they don't know, Terry, they don't know Matthew 16:18, the full understanding of that, that Jesus has one bride the Catholic Church, not 40,000 denominations, one bride, and that bride speaks with his authority, and that bride gives us the bread of life in John chapter 6.
You got
It's only in the Catholic Church. I can't get this in Joel Olsen's church, Kanye West. I can't get this anywhere else, Terry. The bread of life, I can only get in the Catholic Church, in the Orthodox Church. But again, they're in a schismatic state right now, so they still need to wrestle with or understand the authority issue.
And just remember, we have people in the church, 80%, that don't even believe in the real presence. So you wonder why people are leaving. I say that one thing. If you understand the Mass, the Eucharist, you won't leave home. So if your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife says, I'm out of here, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Guess what, folks? That's a requirement to become a member of Christ's church, being a hypocrite. Because you know what? We have the sacrament of penance. We didn't mention John 20, but that's another thing that our Protestant brothers don't have, the sacrament of penance. And so I just want to encourage you, our listener, to evangelize your relatives, your friends, with the teachings of Christ. And we call it the perennial teachings of Christ. And it's not meaning that all throughout the centuries, this is what Jesus Christ taught, whether it's on marriage, the Eucharist, penance, sin. Understand one thing. There are people inside the church, and they're officials, that don't like what the church has taught down through the millennials. I mean, honest, Jess. They don't like it. And
they're called modernists.
Yes.
They call them out every
day.
And
if you look at our website, go and sign that petition. We have a pledge that says, I want to support the Holy Father in 1907 because he foretold the modernists would be coming in to try to destroy the church. And he was absolutely right. So if you say, hey, why are you guys so excited right now? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not excited about compromise. You know what I'm excited about? Truth. And that's one reason Jesse didn't mention. I'm going to mention it now, Jess, why I'm Catholic, because it's true. That's what G.K. Chesterton said when he converted, because it is true.
Yep. And also Walker Percy, they asked him, hey, why do you convert to the Catholic faith? He says, because it's true.
Yep.
And what do you mean it's true? Here it is. It's simple. Jesus Christ is the only Lord and Savior, the Son of God.
Amen.
There is no other.
Amen.
B, Jesus Christ started the Catholic Church on Peter and the Apostles.
Amen.
And the Catholic Church is indestructible. Matthew 28:19, I will be with you always until the end of time. So here it is, A, B, C. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the only Son of God, Lord and Savior. B, he has one bride, not 40,000 brides. It's called the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church based upon Peter and the Apostles. And C, this bride has a mother, which is our mother now, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and this bride feeds us the bread of life, the Holy Eucharist. Terry, there's nowhere else to go.
Praise God, Jesse. And you know what? There isn't. And that's why I want to encourage you. If you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show here at Virgin Most Powerful, we're here to lift you up with the truth of what Jesus Christ teaches. And don't forget the state you should be living in, not Arizona like Jesse or Terry
in California. That's a pretty good state, though, if you don't.
Oh, it's all right, but it ain't going to get you to heaven. Live in the state of grace. That's what gets you to heaven, brother. Hey, and don't live in the state of mortal sin, not even for a second, okay?
Right.
And if you're waiting for someone to tell you to go to confession, that's me. Why? Because listen to the story I said at the beginning of the radio show about a woman who had leprosy and her love for Jesus. That should inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride in the church. Your final words, Jess.
Hey, Catholics, I'm going to be at St. Paul the Apostle Church tomorrow, Phoenicians. December 17th, Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m., talking on how to get to heaven. Live in a state of grace. What else is there?
Amen, brother. God love you. Full sheen ahead.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh, my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.